Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Peches. We left off on the very top of daf Peches and Manal for continuing our discussion on the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan about Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah made its way into Masechta Shabbos through the Mishnah that asked, Minayin, how do I know that Paleta Shechvazer is Tameh for 3 days after being after the Tashmish Hamitah, that the Shechvazer coming out of the woman's body will make her Tameh for 3 days? So he said we learn it from Kabbalah Satorah, and that led us into an entire discussion about how many days we really needed of preparation of staying away from one's wife before Kabbalah Satorah. Was it 2 days or was it 3 days? That was the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. We said that that leads us directly into the machlokas of exactly what the date of Kabbalah Satorah was. This was the Gemara that we learned yesterday pointed out that everybody agrees that Kabbalah Satorah was on a Shabbos. Everybody agrees that we arrived at Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. But there's a machlokas. The machlokas is about how many days of separation there were and when what day was Rosh Chodesh. If you hold Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, so if Kabbalah Satorah was Shabbos, so then you hold Kabbalah Satorah was on the seventh day of Sivan, which is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. But if you hold Rosh Chodesh was Monday, so then Kabbalah Satorah was on Vav Sivan, which is the Shita of the Rabbanan. It is interesting, though, that all the Kabbalah Satorah Agaditas make it into Masecha Shabbos. So I saw that in the name of Rav Tzaddik and Tzidkas HaTzaddik, he explains that a lot of times different Agadita Gemaras make it into this specific Masechtas because there's some message behind the connection between the Masechta and the Agadita. And he points out that when Chazal Rukaveh Matan Torah Masechta Shabbos, because not only because practically it'd be Shabbos Nitna Torah, which is what everyone agrees upon, that the Torah was given on Shabbos, but that the Chavivas HaTorah and the Kiyum Mitzvah HaTorah is best appreciated on Shabbos and often best done on Shabbos. When a person has no other distractions and a person is able to appreciate more of a life of Ruchnius, so the Chavivas HaTorah seems to be appreciated more on Shabbos than it is during the week. Similarly, Rav Tzaddik says, the Agados about the Man is in Maseches Yuma, because the Man is spiritual food. So since we talk about the day where we're nizon mimazon ruchani, I mean, we don't have physical food, we only have spiritual food, so we emphasize the spiritual nature of the month. Similarly, in the agados of the Churban are in Maseches Gittin, because Galus Yisrael, the fact that Klal Yisrael is in Galus, is like a get. And the pasuk says it. Is a krisos imchem, that this is the krisos that Kodesh Baruch Hu has, that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us over the course of the long galus. So that's how Shabbos ended up. That's how the Kabbalah Satorah Gemaras ended up in Masech Shabbos. But we're in the middle of a series of proofs that who's correct in this machlokas. This machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Top of Peches and Manal of Tashema. Detanya b'Seder Olam. We have a Brice in Seder Olam. Nisan Shabo Yatzu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Barbaas or Shachtu Pischein. Nisan that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. So on the 14th day of Nisan, they shechted their Karban Pesach. B'chamisha asar yatzur. On the 15th day of Nisan, we actually left Mitzrayim. V'oso hayom erev Shabbos haya. And that day that we left was erev Shabbos. So wait a second. Midereish yarcha de Nisan erev Shabbos. It actually skips a step where we're supposed to figure out that if the 15th day of Nisan is erev Shabbos, then Rosh Chodesh Nisan was also erev Shabbos. So if the reish yarcha de Nisan is erev Shabbos, Reish Yarcha di Iyar Chad B'Shabbah. Nisan is Malay, so the Reish Yarcha, the Rosh Chodesh of Chodesh Iyar, is going to be on Sunday. It's going to be 4 weeks and 2 days later. V'Sivan B'Trei B'Shabbah, and the Rosh Chodesh Sivan is going to be on a Monday, because it's going to be Chaser, and therefore it's going to be 4 weeks and 1 day later. So it'll be 29 days later. Kasha L'Rabbi Yossi, so this is a Kasha on Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi's whole Shita was based on the fact that Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on Sunday, and that's how we got the Torah on Zion Sivan of that Shabbos. But over here you see, according to the Seder Olam, the Brison Seder Olam, the Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Monday. So Amalach Rabbi Yossi Hamani Rabbanan Hi. Just like the Rabbanan rejected all the various proofs from Brisos that indicated that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Sunday by saying, yes, those Brisos are going like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi will say, I'm not bothered by a Brisa. That Brisa is going like the Rabbanan. It's a Machlokas Tanaim, and they're going to be Brises that take sides on either side of this machlokes. Tashma, the final proof. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bisheni Ola Moshe V'yarad. On Monday, Moshe Rabbeinu went up, came down. Bishlishi Ola V'yarad. On Tuesday, again went up the mountain, came down. Bidalid Yarad. On Wednesday, he only came down. Vishuvlo Ola, but didn't go back up. So, Frakta Gemara, wait, that doesn't make sense. Umeachoshlo Ola, Mehechon Yarad. How do you come down without going up? Meaning he started out down here. So what does that mean? On Wednesday he went down without going up. No, Elabirvi Alaviyara. No, on Wednesday also. He went up and he came down. Bechamishi banam mizbeach vikrivil of carbon. On that Thursday he built the mizbeach and was makrav carbon. Beshishi lohaya lo penai. My love mishum Torah. And on Friday there was no time for anything. Now why was there no time for anything? Isn't it because he was busy getting the Torah? Klal Yisrael was busy getting the Torah. So on Friday, not on Shabbos. So says Gemara, no, Friday's a busy day. Lo mishum Torah Shabbos. The reason Friday there was a great tircha was because it was they were preparing for Shabbos. So there was no time to do much else. That's what the Gemara Maseches Pesachim says, that Eliyahu Anavi doesn't come on Arvei Shabbos, because everyone's too busy. Everyone's busy preparing for Shabbos. We're too busy running to do mitzvahs of being osek in the Suda Shabbos to make sure that everything is prepared for Shabbos, that we don't have time. Eliyahu Navi doesn't want to disturb us on a Friday. Darash Ahu Galilah, Leder of Chista. So a certain person from the Galil, Darshan Bar of Chista, Brich Rachmana, blessed is the Ribbono Shel Olam, Diyav Urian, that he gave us our Torah, the Urian Tlisai, a Torah of threes, La'am Tlisai, to a nation of threes, Al Yedei Tlisai, through a third child, Biyom Tlisai, on a third day, Biyarcha Tlisai, on the third month. So, Keman Kerabanan, that's going like the Shita of the Rabbanan. Why? Where did we see the Shita of the Rabbanan? Because what's Biyom Tlisai? It was actually the sixth or seventh day of the month, depending on which side you hold in Machlokas. What do you mean, Biyom Tlisai? Elamites, the third day of the Prisha, that we were Poresh 1 day, 2 days, and then on the third day we got the Torah. According to Rabbi Yossi, we were Poresh 3 full days, and then on the fourth day we got the Torah. So you see that Brisa goes like the Rabbanan. What does everything else mean over there? All these other threes? So for instance, what's the Urian Tlisai, the Torah of three parts? So Rashi writes, Torah Neviyim Uksuvim, that it's made up of Torah Neviyim Uksuvim. There's another possibility, the Imre Yemes points out, based on the Gemara and Kiddushin. The Gemara and Kiddushin, Daf Lamed, tells us, La'olam Yishalei Shodom Shnosav, a person should always divide up his years into three parts. Shlish B'mikra, Shlish B'mishnah, Shlish B'talmud, that a third of a person's lifetime should be spent studying Mikra, Tanakh, a third of a person's lifetime should be studying Mishnah, and a third should be studying Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, how are you going to figure that out? You're going to, does a person know how long he's going to live, that he's going to be able to figure out that if I live 120 years, I'll do 40 years of Mikra, then 40 years of Mishnah. What if he dies when he's 80? Then he'll never get to Talmud. So that would be very, very upsetting. So the Gemara says, no, it means that you divide up the days. So days of the week you divide up, or the days even, each day is divided up. So you divide up the days of Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. But you see that the Gemara divides Torah into those three categories. So that might be the Urian Tlisai, not just Torah, Neviim, Uksuvim, but Torah, Neviim, Uksuvim, maybe one of the three legs of Torah, Mishnah being the second, and Talmud being the third. And we are an Am Tlisai, because there are three groups within Klal Yisrael. So Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, and Tlisai, Al Yedei Tlisai, Rashi points out, is Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the third Mibeta, and he was the third one out of his mother's womb after Aaron and Miriam. So that's the third of Moshe Rabbeinu. Good. So says the Gemara Vayitim. Now we get into the Agadatos relating directly to Kabbalah Satorah. So we're going to have the Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis, and then we're going to have on the bottom of the Amud a lot about Nasev Nishma, and then in Amud Beis we're going to say how every Dibur that came out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth represented or accomplished something amazing. And then finally at the very end of Amud Beis we're going to get to the whole discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. And the Malachim didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to be Meshev Lam Davar. He had to grab the Kisei HaKavod and respond to them. So That's what the whole daf is about. The entire daf is about the agaritas of Kabbalah Satorah. So they stood at the foot of the mountain, or literally under the mountain. So it says Gemara, "Am Rav Dimi Barchama Barchasa Melamit Shekafa Kodesh Baruch Aleim Eshahar Kigigis." We see that Hashem held over the mountain, over the heads of Klal Yisrael, like a vat, as if to say, "Va'amar lahem." He said to them, "Im atem mekablim haTorah mutav." If you want to accept the Torah, that's fantastic. "Vim lav," but if not, "Shamtei kvuraschem." Well, then I'm going to bury you here. The mountain's going to drop down on your head. Amar of Acha bar Yaakov, "Mikan modo'a rabba la'oraisa." From here is a modo'a rabba la'oraisa. What does that mean? Says Rashi, "Shem yazminim ledin, loma lo kiyamtem ma shekibaltem." If any time we're called out on the carpet and we're asked, why have you not fulfilled the Torah? After all, you accepted the Torah. Whatever happened to your nasiv and ishma, ma shekibaltem aleichem, yesh lem tshuva shekiblu ba'ones. You'll always have a response. You'll always be able to say that we didn't accept it willingly, we were forced into accepting it, and that's the only reason we accepted it, so therefore we can't be taken to task for not fulfilling the Torah as well as we should have. So that's the Modah Rabbi L'Oraisa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kofa Har Kigigis. If you look at Tosos on the top, Tosos says, well, wait a second, whatever happened to Nasa V'Nishma? Nasa V'Nishma didn't sound like we were forced. Nasa V'Nishma makes it sound like we were eager. We're going to have a whole bunch of Gemaras in the bottom of the summit, all about the greatness of Nasa V'Nishma and what that accomplished for Klal Yisrael. And then we're just going to use an excuse that Hashem forced us into it. So says Tosos, V'Afu Pi Shekvar Gdimu Nasa L'Nishma, Shem that even though we originally were very eager and we said Nasav Nishma, once we saw the intensity and the power of Torah, that Yatsa Nishmasan, that our Neshamas left us at that moment, so we were afraid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought that maybe we would be Choser, we would change our minds from Nasav Nishma, and therefore he was Kofa Har Kigigis. I, Fractosos Vadam Perakamdim Sechsavad Zara, Klum Kafisa Leinu Har Kigigis. The beginning of Sechsavad Zara discusses is Nagadat over there about the Umos HaOlam, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asal Davo is going to criticize and punish the Umos HaOlam for not having the Torah, and they're going to say, well, you never gave us the Torah. Hashem will say, well, I offered it to you, and you said no. Yeah, but you never did Kfiyas Har Kigigis. You never forced us to accept it, like you forced Klal Yisrael to accept it. That's the Gemara where Hashem says, okay, I'll give you mitzvah Kali Yeshli. I have one easy mitzvah I'll give you to do, and we'll see how you do with it. And he gave them the mitzvah of Sukkah, and then he's Hotzi Chama Minartika. He takes out the sun, and they have a miserable time in the Sukkah, and they go out, and they kick the Sukkah. But at some point in the conversation, they say, look, you were never Kofa Leinu Har Kigigis. Sounds like if they were Kofa Har Kigigis, then they'd have a good then they would have no excuse. Meaning Hashem said, why didn't you keep the Torah? They said, because you never forced us to take the Torah. But if you would have forced us, then we would have no excuse. Then Eino Chinami, we would have no excuse as to why we didn't keep the Torah. So Frek Tosfos, our Gemara says that because Hashem forced us, we do have an excuse. Meaning that's exactly our excuse, that we were forced into it. So which is it? Is being forced does that take away any excuses? Or does that give an excuse? So Tosfos says a very simple chiluk. He says, in that Gemara, the conversation was about why weren't they mekabel the Torah? Why was there no Kabbalah Satorah? So in the conversation, why was there no Kabbalah Satorah? So then, in a chinami, they have if they would have been forced into it, then there would be no excuse why they weren't mekabel the Torah. Our discussion is about why don't we keep the Torah? Once we're ready mekabel it, so it's a good excuse why we don't keep it, because we were forced into the Kabbalah in the first place. So that's the Modah Rabbi L'Oraisa. Amar Rava back in the Gemara, Afal Pikein, Hadr Kiblu Abimei Achashverosh. Even so, we were mekabel the Torah again in the days of Achashverosh. Meaning, even though we didn't accept it willingly at Kabbalah HaTorah, it had to be Kafaleim HaKigigis, in the days of Achashverosh, we did accept it willingly. Dechsev Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim. Because the Pasuk says, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim, which means, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar. We were mekayim what we were already mekabel at a much earlier time. So we strengthened our commitment to the Torah on our own free will. The Maral makes a big deal about the idea of Kafalim Harkigigis being a very great Mechayev. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Maral and Teferis Yisrael discusses this. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kofa us to accept the Torah because when something is done Biratzon, you can always have a way out. But when something is done Ba'ones, you're more bound to it. He says, like the Torah tells us, Velosia Li'isha Li'uchel Shalcha Kol Yamav, that the Torah says if a man is a Ma'anes, a woman, so he has to marry her and he can't get out of it. He can't, for the rest of his life, he's not allowed to divorce her. So when something is done with a sense of Ones, it has more of a binding power to it. That's the Maral. The other important point, all the Achronim point out, to answer Tosus' first kasha, what do you need Kafalim Harkigigis? We already had Nasa Venishma, so Tosus says we're afraid that Hashem was afraid that we were going to be Choser because of the Eish HaGedola and the intensity of the moment. But there is a Medrash Tanchuma that all the Achronim quote. The Medrash Tanchuma says, no, it's the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav doesn't break a person as much. Torah Shebichsav we were very eager to accept. That was Nasa V'Nishma. Torah Shebalpeh is much more challenging. Torah Shebalpeh is where we needed the Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas. And even on Torah Shebalpeh, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim. The Torah Shebalpeh is what we needed to come back to in the days of Achashverosh to be Mekabalit again. Maral explains that once we were Mekabel, the mitzvahs of Mikra Megillah and other mitzvahs, we can't say that we were honest in Kabbalah HaTorah, because if we were honest in Kabbalah HaTorah in the original mitzvahs, why would we accept on ourselves more mitzvahs after we've already after if we didn't want for the mitzvahs that we already had? I mean, why would we accept upon ourselves new things? And these were new mitzvahs that were given to us. He compares it to the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara talks about Makif Nikif. There's a sugya in Bava Basra Daf Hey. If let's say I build around three sides. I own three fields around your fields. So to separate between my fields and your fields, I put up fences. So now your field is the person in the middle, is surrounded by fences on three sides. But he didn't pay for any of those fences because he didn't put them up. He didn't ask for them. The guy who's surrounding him is the one that put up the fences. Then if the guy in the middle puts up a fourth fence, now he has to pay for the first three also. He has to share in the burden of paying for the first three, because by putting up that fourth fence, he's showing that he's happy about having his property fenced in. So he's showing that he's happy about the earlier ones. So that's how the Maral says. You have a similar idea with Kabbalah HaTorah, that when we initially accepted the Torah, we could kind of, well, it was honest, we didn't want it. Yeah, but then on our own, we went up and put up that fourth fence, and we went and we were Mekabel these new mitzvahs in the Bimei HaShverosh. So now we have no choice. Now we have to pay for the earlier ones also. We have to acknowledge that we were interested in the earlier ones as well. Amar Chizkiya, my duchsiv, mishamayim mishmat din, eretz yara v'shakta. What does the pasuk mean when it says that mishamayim, that from shamayim mishmat din, that Hashem has allowed din to be heard from shamayim, and then the earth was afraid and then was calm? What does it mean, was afraid and then was calm? Im yara lama shakta, vim shakta lama yara. If it was calm, why was it? If it was afraid, why was it calm? If it was calm, why was it afraid? These are opposite emotions that are being described. Ela b'tchila yara ulbasof shakta. Initially it was afraid and then it was shoket, then it was quiet. V'lama yara, where was the fear? Where was, why was there fear? Kidrei shlakish. Damrei shlakish, may dechsiv vayi erev vayivoker yom Hashishi. What does the pasuk say? Vayer vayivoker, instead of Yom Shishi, it says Hashishi. Hey Yisera Lamali. What's that extra hey doing there? Melamit Shisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Maisa Breishis Va'amar Lahem. Im Yisrael Mekab Matara Atem Eskaimin V'imlav Ani Machzir Eskam L'Sohu Vavohu. That Hashem built a Tanai into Maisa Breishis, and the Tanai that He built in was that if Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah, then this whole Maisa Breishis, it could last, it will be fine, it's good. But if Klal Yisrael does not accept the Torah, then Maisa Bereishis isn't going to last either. Everything's going to go back to Sov Avo. So that's the Yira and the Shakta, that there was the whole Maisa Bereishis was afraid to see what's the decision going to be. Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah, they breathe a sigh of relief. The whole creation could breathe a sigh of relief because now it's going to survive. The Tanai was finally fulfilled. That's what the Netziv writes. This counts as a Daf Yomi coincidence, I think, because today is the first day we can start doing Shnai Mikra for Parsha Shemos. The Netziv writes for Sefer Shemos. The Netziv writes in his Hakdama to Sefer Shemos, the Netziv says that every book of Chumash is given a different name by the Gaonim or by Chazal. You know, you have the Book of Numbers, Sefer HaPikudim. You have different names given to each of the different the different Sfarim. So some of the Gaonim call Sefer Shemos Sefer Hasheni. And he says that's a little bit odd. Why would you, of all the descriptive names you can give to the book that has Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf and, you know, Yitzias Mitzrayim, all the and the building of the Mishkan, everything that happens, the Kabbalah Satorah, everything that happens in the book, and the best we can come up with is Sefer Hasheni, the second book? So the Netziv says, no, but that's the point. It's about this Gemara, that the entire creation, everything we learned about in Sefer Bereishis, wasn't an end into itself. Everything we learned about in Sefer Bereishis was to lead up to the moment in Sefer Shemos of Kabbalah Satorah. And if that Kabbalah Satorah doesn't go through properly, then all the things that the Avos taught us, everything about the Bria Salam, it was all for naught. It was all to lead up to that moment. That's why it's Sefer Hasheni, exactly like this Gemara is trying to say. There is an interesting kasha about the kfiya element, the fact that we were forced into Kabbalah Satorah. So I saw an interesting kasha of Zilberstein quotes from the Tshuvas Chemda Shlomo, where there's a Gemara in Babasra Daf Memches, in the third paragraph of Babasra, Tol Yuav Zavin Zvini Zvini, that the halacha generally is that if you force somebody to buy, to sell something to you, you go into a person's house and you say, I want to buy that, whatever, that television. And the person says, well, it's not for sale. So you take out your gun and you say, I want to buy that television. The person says, oh, you're robbing me here, take it. No, I'm not robbing you. I'm going to pay you good money for it. I want to buy that. So, and they give it to you because you force them into selling it and you pay them for it. Zvini, zvini, the sale is actually a binding sale. You're a bad guy and you violated this daraisa of losachmot, you violated one of the asaras of dibros, but it's still a binding sale. Till you have a zavin, zvini, zvini. So the Chemda Shlomo raises the question, what's the modah rabba lo raisa? That we're going to have an excuse. You know why we didn't keep the Torah? Because we were forced into it. Well, too bad. You're forced into it. The sale is still a binding sale. It's still something that you have to live up to. So the Chemda Shlomo explains that maybe it's only a chiyuv that you're mekabel to do the Torah. I mean, when do we say till you have a zavin zvini zvini? That's only when immediately the item is taken from you, like by a mecher or by kiddushay isha. That's what the Gemara says. Till you have a kaddish, you want to be mekadish a woman, and she refuses to give you the time of day. So you hang her up in a tree and say, I'm not letting you down until you accept kiddushin from me. So the Gemara says, mida oraisa that kiddushin is chal. It's only mida rabbanan afkinu rabbanan lekiddushin mine, because you're a bad guy. But mida oraisa, the kiddushin would be chal. Why? Because at that moment, the entire transaction is happening. The maisa is completed immediately with the transference of the money. So we assume that the person who's selling has complete das to be miyaish from whatever object or whatever it is that they're giving up, and they're mevater for the money. But when it's about something that you're going to do in the future, that you're being mekabel to give something in the future, to do something in the future, we don't assume there's a gemiras das when you're being forced into it. That's how he suggests that Kabbalah Satorah, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu forced us into it, but it was about a future event. So it's about future commitments, that in the future we're going to eat matzah, we're going to take lulav, and we're going to do all the mitzvahs. Well, that maybe there's not a gemiras das. If there's no sense of immediacy to it, Rav Zilberstein thinks that maybe if that's correct, if the Chemda Shlomo is correct, then maybe if someone is forced into selling an insurance policy, so maybe then it wouldn't, until you have a zavin, you wouldn't say zvini zvini, because it's a sale about a future commitment. It's almost like a kinyan devarim. You know, it's a sale about doing something in the future, not something that's where the transaction is completed right here and now. Okay, we're at the two dots in the middle of the page. Darish Rav Simai, B'shal Shektim Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma. At that special moment where Klal Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, Bo Shishim Ribo Shal Malachi Asharis L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad Mi'Yisrael. So 600,000 Malachi Asharis came to each member of Klal Yisrael. Kashalo Shnei Ksarim, mean one for each member of Klal Yisrael, and they tied two crowns on their heads. Echad Keneged Nasa, Ve'Echad Keneged Nishma. One for Nasa, one for Nishma. V'Kivan Shechatu Yisrael, but when Klal Yisrael sinned with the Ched Egel, Yardu Me'ev Ve'esrim ribo malachei chavala upirkum. So then 120,000 bad malachim came and are destructive. Shouldn't say bad. Destructive malachim came and took the crowns off of their heads. Fractosos, don't we have a klal gadol amida tova mimidas pranas, that good always comes in greater measure than bad? So we only got 600,000 good malachim coming, and we have 120,000 malachi chavala. Not 1.2 million, not 120,000, 1.2 million malachi chavala to remove the crowns from our heads. So how come the bad is in greater number? He says, no, what it makes up for in what the malachi chavala have in quantity, they lose in quality. Each of the malachim of bracha was kosher shnei ksarim. The malachi chavala were so weak, they were only able to remove one crown. They weren't able to remove two crowns. So even though the net result is the same, the good is actually greater than the bad, because of the good were so much more powerful. This may be a marimakum in the age-old discussion about quantity versus quality in Torah. What do we value more? Do we value greater quantity or greater quality? Rav Yosef Engel has a whole piece in Asfanda Araisa. I remember, like Akhtov, one of his svarim, he has a whole piece about in mitzvos in general, or averos, so is a higher quality avera, let's say, a worse avera, done in lesser quantity, done once, is that better than doing lesser averos many times? What about by mitzvos, by tzedakah, for instance, better to give a dollar to 100 different aniyim, or $100 to one? So he has like 25 rayas back and forth, whether quantity is better, quality is better. As you may have guessed, in about half the cases, quantity is better, in about half the cases, quality is better. There's no set rule, but this is another maramakum maybe, that these malachi chavala are considered to be a lower level, even though there's greater quantity, because what they have in quantity, they lack for in quality. So anyways, where do we know that the malachim did this? Shenemar, Pasuk says, "Ve'isnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es edya mehar chorev," that they were stripped of their jewelry that they got from Har Chorev. Amrav Cham Brachanina b'chorev tanu b'chorev parku, that at Har Chorev they got the jewelry in the first place, and that's where they lost it. B'chorev tanu k'da Amran, like we said, b'chorev parku d'chsev ve'isnatzlu b'nei Yisrael. The fact that they lost it was again ve'isnatzlu b'nei Yisrael. Amrav B'yochanan, "Kulan zacha Moshe v'natlan." Moshe Rabbeinu was able to clean up all those crowns. He got to keep them. To samachle u'Moshe yikach ha'sa'ahu. Amrei Shlakish, Asar Kodesh Baruch Hu lachziron lanu. But one day Hashem is going to give it back to us. Shenemar ufduye Hashem yeshuvun ubo tzion berina v'simchas olam al rosham. So what does that mean? Simchas olam is going to be on our heads. Simcha shemei olam al rosham. The simcha from way back. Remember way back when we used to have those crowns. That's going to come back on our heads. La asalavo. Hashem is going to return it to us. Amrei Blazer b'shashik dimisol nasa l'nishma. Again, another statement about nasa v'nishma. When Klal Yisrael was makdim nasa tanishma yatsa baskel v'amr lehem mi gila lebanai raz zeh. So the baskel came out and said, who revealed to my children this secret, shamalachei hashareis mishtam shinbo, that the malachei hashareis know about this special secret of Nasa v'Nishma. So Dechsev Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav Gibori Koch Osei Dvaro Lishmoa B'Kol Dvaro. Describing the Malachim Gibori Koch, it says Osei Dvaro Lishmoa B'Kol Dvaro. First Osei, then Lishmoa. Bereisha Osei V'Hadar Lishmoa. The Ksav Sofer Al Torah in Parshas Yisro says someone is Oved Al Menas L'Kabel Pras, so he first has to hear if he's doing something because he wants to get rewarded for it. So he first wants to hear exactly what's being asked of him. But someone who's not interested in the reward is just wants to do. He's just so pleased to be able to be oved. He doesn't need to know exactly what is being asked of him. He's just so excited to get the job, right? If someone is eager because he just wants to be working, so he doesn't really care that much about exactly what's being asked of him. He just wants to get the job. So that's the nasa is not b'shvil kabbalah schar. It's v'nishmas l'shmo b'kol Hashem, meaning it's nasa v'nishma. We are being nasa just so that we have the zuchus of being nishma, just so that we get to work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we get to work shalom nas lekabel pras. That's mi gala raz zel lebanai, that the malachi hashareis do. That the malachi hashareis are the ones that don't that aren't ovid lekabel schar. There is no schar from malachi hashareis. It's just what they do. So that's the secret of the malachi hashareis, that it's avodah shalom nas lekabel schar. That's how the Ksav Sofer understands this gemara. Amar Reb Chaim, four lines from the bottom of the page. Amar Reb Chaim Rebbe Chanina, my duchsiv. What does the pasuk mean when it says ki tapuach ba'atzei hayar, like the tapuach tree in the trees of the forest. Lama nimshul Yisrael l'tapuach. Why are Klal Yisrael compared to a tapuach? Lama l'cha ma tapuach ze piryo kodem la'olav. To tell you that just like a tapuach, the fruit comes out before the leaves, af Yisrael ikdimu nasa l'nishma. So to Klal Yisrael, we did nasa before nishma. The fruit came out before the leaves. The nasa, which is the fruits of our labors, is before the leaves, which is what protects the nasa. Leaves very often are assumed to be protection for the for peros, right? So in what way is learning, is nishma, a protection for our nasa? So we know in order to do, it's lomol amanas lasos, you need to learn in order to know what to do. If you want to protect your religious observance, you can't have religious observance without learning. Jewish life always demands learning. There has to be constant learning. And if we don't have learning, then the religious observance falls by the wayside as well. We need to constantly be learning about what to do. It's interesting though, Tosa says, Hikshara Beinatam, Shere Anu Roem Shegadol Kishari Lanos. He says, I've seen tapuach, it doesn't really grow any different than any other tree. So what in the world is the Gemara talking about over here? It grows like everything else. Umefaresh, he says, the tapuach hainu esrog. That's the reason I didn't translate the word. Tapuach, we're used to translating as apple. One thing we're almost certain of is that tapuach does not mean apple. That's what Rosh Hashanah points out, that when the Gantz Klal Yisrael makes charoses, so the Gemara says you should put tapuach in charoses. So everyone puts apples and charoses. We're pretty certain tapuach does not mean apple. In all likelihood, it means a citrus fruit of some sort. That's what the Gemara says, that the tapuach has a certain acidic value to it that kills the effect of the maror. So there's no acidic content. You know, the apple is not particularly acidic. It's not a citrus fruit, but an orange, a lemon, that's probably so. Over here, an esrog is what he means by tapuach. That tagmin kerecha de esrog. An esrog does grow differently than every other tree. An esrog is pre-eats hadar. The Gemara says hadar is shadar bi'ilana mishana l'shana, that it lives in the tree from 1 year to the next year. So after the year is over, noshrin olav shalishtaka, the leaves of last year fall off and new leaves come in, and that's the piryo kodem la'olav. That even though there's still a esrogim on the tree from before, there's still new. There are new leaves that are growing in afterwards. So that's the tapuach is the esrog. Okay, ha'ut tzduki dechazi l'rava dekama'ayin b'shmaiti. There was a tzduki that was watching Rava learn. This was something that always fascinated people. People who've never seen a Beis Medrash, they're fascinated to watch Jews learn. So the tzduki was just watching him learn. So v'yasva at ba'asa didei, and he was sitting on his fingers, tuse kara under his legs, v'kamayitzbuhu, and he was crushing his fingers with his legs. V'kamavan et ba'ase dama, so much so that his fingers were bleeding. So and he was just so focused in his learning, he didn't even realize what was happening. He didn't realize that he was bleeding. He didn't pay any attention to it. So Amar Leih, the Tzduki says, Ama Faziza, you impulsive nation, dekanmisu pumaychulu naichu, that you allowed your mouth to come before your ears. I mean, you did nasa before nishma. You committed to something before you even heard what you were committing to. Akati bepachzu saichu kiamisu. You still remain so impulsive. Bereisha yubayiluchu lemishma yimatzisu kablisi, kablisu v'ilolo kablisu. It's irresponsible what you did. When you accept something, when you accept a task, you have to find out what that task is. How do you know that you're able to do it, that you would want to do it, that you'd have the interest to do it? You should have listened to what was being asked of you, and after hearing what was being asked of you, then committed to it. Amar Leih, so he said back to him, no, anan desaginan bishleimusa, we who have accepted with complete faith, ksivban, it says about us, tumas yesharim tanchem, that the perfect faith of yesharim, of people who are straight and upright, is gonna lead them, is gonna be good. Hanachinshi, but other people, the Sagan Balilusa, who are full of perversion, ksivbuhu v'salav bogdim yishadem, that the perversiveness of the people who lack any faith is gonna destroy them. Amrav Shobar Nachmeni Amrav Yonasan. What does the pasuk mean when it says Libavtani Achosi Kala, that Achosi Kala has captured my heart? Libavtani Ba'achas Me'enayich, that you've captured my heart with one of your eyes. That we are the Kala of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is describing his love for Klal Yisrael, but in some way he says in Shir Hashirim, this love song, Hashem says that the Kala has captured his heart with one of our eyes. What does that mean? B'tchila ba'achas me'enayich l'kshatasi b'shteyenayich. Initially it was just with one eye. When we were mekabel the Torah, so then it's only, we're halfway there. But then ultimately it's when we do it, when we actually accomplish the Torah, then it's b'shteyenayich. Then we're completely focused on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amr Ula, Aluva Kala Mizana Betochu Pasa. How shameless is a Kala who's going to be Mizana Mamish right there at the Chuppah? Amr of Mari Bradba Shmuel, Mikra, what's the pasuk that refers to this? Acha Melch Mesivo, Nardi, when the Melch is still at the banquet, he's still at the Mesiba, so then the perfume goes out and we're ready being Mizana, meaning that's referring obviously to the Chede Egel. Amr Rav Va'adain Chavusi Higaban. Even so, after doing such a terrible thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he somehow still loves us. It doesn't say that we reeked of some sort of terrible odor. It says that we gave off a smell, which is Azurech Hatov L'Acherim, Rashi says, that the good smell when goes off to other people. Tan Rabbanan, Aluvin Veinan Olvin, Shomer Chapasin Veinan Meshivin. People who are humiliated but don't respond in kind. People talk to them with chutzpah, and they still talk nicely to other people. People who hear themselves being humiliated and don't respond, they know how to keep quiet and not get all emotional and angry and anxious. Osin me'ava, usmechen b'yisurin. People who do things out of ava and are happy with yisurin, are okay with being mekabel yisurin ba'ava. Alein ha'kosav omer, about them the pasuk says, va'av of k'tzeis ha'shemesh b'gvuraso, that those who love him are as strong as the sun in its strongest time. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, ma'idichsiv Hashem yitein omer amvasos tzavarav, called Dibur V'Dibur. So now we're going to go into a number of statements about every Dibur that came out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, Kaviyachal, at Kabbalah Satorah. So it's called Dibur V'Dibur, Sheyatzim Piagvura, Nechlak L'Shivim L'Shonos. Every Dibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spoke was divided into 70 languages. Tani Debei Rabbi Shmael, Ukepatish Yifotzei Tzela, like a hammer breaks a rock. Ma patish ze nechlak lekamani totos. Just like this hammer is divided into many different sparks, Tosos raises the problem of the metaphor over here, is that normally the hammer bangs down on the rock and breaks the rock, and we're describing the patish as being divided into a million pieces. So that's a little bit of a problem with understanding this metaphor. But I've called deeper v'deeper shiatsim piyakadosh baruch hu nechlak l'shivim l'shonos. So to every deeper that came out from a kadosh baruch hu is divided into 70 languages. The Torah was given to us on all across all languages. Amr of Chanan al Bar Papa, Maiduk Siv, Shamu Kinagidim Adaber, that you will hear that as princely things I have spoken. Lama Nimshul Divrei Torah Kinagid. Why are Divrei Torah compared like a prince? So Lama Lcha, Man Nagid Ze, Yeshba Lahamis Lahachios, after Divrei Torah Yeshba Lahamis Lahachios. Just like a prince, just like a king, someone of the royal family, has the ability to decide who's going to live and who's going to die, has the ability to keep alive and to execute, so to Divrei Torah, it could be the greatest thing in the world. It could be a Sam HaChaim, but it could also become a Sam HaMaves. Hainu Dama Rava, that's what Rava says, L'mayminim ba, Sama Dechayi. L'masmi'ilim ba, Sama Demusa. For those who are mayminim ba, who would deal with it with their right hand, which is a way of saying, as Rashi says, Oskim b'kol kocham, utrudim l'da soda, kadam m'shtamish b'yad m'yamino she'i ikr. It's not just a hobby, it's something that a person puts his energy into, it's something that a person puts his passion into. Like your right hand, when you want to do something right, when you care about how it's being done, you do it with your right hand. When you don't really, you could do a sloppy job, so then you do something with your left hand. A person's approach to Torah shouldn't just be, Yetzizayin, I'll do something, I'll have some sort of sheiches. It has to be with a real commitment to Torah, the real commitment to understanding the Torah, and to the emes in Torah. So for my minimba, it's a samachayim. L'mas mi'ilimba, if it's a hodgepodge, not really careful job, then it's going to be a samadamusa. Why does it become a samamavas, l'mas mi'ilimba? Because the whole point, whenever we have Torah being described as samamavas, we always refer to people who pervert the Torah, people who take the Torah and use it for for ends that are not noble. And when one doesn't give the proper attention to understand Torah, so they come, what they end up with is a perverted understanding of the Torah. So they end up using Ma'amari Chazal out of context, and it's very easy to do that if you don't pay careful attention. You don't really know what's going on. So then it becomes a Sama Mavis. Then the Torah itself can become a destructive force. That's what the Gemara says. There's a stira in the Gemaras, right? The Gemara Maseches Pesachim says that a person should always ask the Torah mitzvahs afbi shalolishma shemitok shalolishma balishma. But the Gemara in Tainus and elsewhere says that it's a sama mavis when it's done shalolishma. So the Balei Tosfos in a few places in Shas point out that there are two types of shalolishma. There's shalolishma where I just want to get covered. I want everyone to stand up for me when I walk in the room. I want to be called the Talmud Chacham. So that kind of shalolishma you should still do. If that's why you're learning Torah, keep on learning Torah because you're going to be committed to it. You're going to learn it properly. You're going to you just have ulterior motives. But a shalolishma where a person is trying to pervert the Torah, a person is trying to use it to push a personal agenda or something like that, and he's going to find rayas to whatever he holds. He already decided what he holds, and he's going to find rayas in the Torah to whatever he holds. Well, that's already a shalolishma that's no good. That's a shalolishma that he's better off not learning. The other possibilities, Negidim refers to the crowns that every dibur, not the crowns that that Klal Yisrael had that we refer to in Amud Aleph, but the crowns that the two crowns on the letters that came out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Iyun Yaakov, he points out why two crowns for every dibur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that's the Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton, that the dibur that came straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Aseres Hadibros. Aseres Hadibros is a Tam Elyon and a Tam Tachton. So that's the meaning of the two crowns, that both of them are legitimate part of our Masorah, both types of trup that we have in the Aseres Hadibros. Also, he also says that maybe it relates to Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that even the, every dibur has two crowns. It has those who are metame, those who are metahir, those who are mati, those who are os, and it's all Divrei Elokim Chayim, that both are have a chelek in Torah Hashem. Amr B'shua Ben Levi, Ma'iduch Siv Tzor Amar Dodi Li Ben Shodai Yolin. Amr Knesset Shalom Fnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Knesset Shalom says to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Afal Pisha Meitzar Memer Lidodi, Bein Shadi Yalvin, that even though I've caused all sorts of distress to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, still we rest between the breasts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. As Rashi explains, what this means is that even though we just did the Chedei Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to have a Mishkan where the Shechina is Bein Shnei Habadim, the two poles of the Aron, that and in the and he says Shanir b'mikdash rishon kishnei shadayim dochkinu bolten b'paroches, that in the mikdash rishon they stuck out through the curtain kishnei shadayim. So that's the imagery. Eshkol hakofer dodi li b'karmen ein gedi misha kol shalom mechaper li alavon gedi shekaramti li, that the one who has everything should be mechaper me for the averos for the avero of the gedi, the cheda egel that was heaped up on me. My How do I know the karma means to heap something up? The chair of the launderer where he piles up the clothing. What's the chair of the launderer? So Rashi explains that they used to do something called mugmar. Mugmar was a type of spice that they would burn that gave a pleasant aroma that they would put into clothing. That your clothing, when you put it on, you wouldn't only choose clothing for the color or whatever, you'd choose it for what flavor smell you were interested in that day. So they would put it over a chair that had holes in it, and they would burn the mugmar underneath, and the smoke would come up into the clothing. So anyway, but it talks about piling the clothing up on those chairs. V'amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Ma'iduch Siv, Lachyav Karugas Habosem, Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shiatzim Pekadosh Baruch Hu, Nesmali Kolo Olam Besam. Every dibur that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole world filled with besamim. Well, if in the first dibur the world was already full of besamim, so where did the second dibur go to? So Hashem took the ruach out from its storehouse, and he was maver rishon, meaning that he said a dibur, and then the whole world fills up with besamim. Then Hashem makes a wind blow, blows out all that besamim. Then another dibur, and again the whole world fills up with besamim. That which is taught, that which is learned, that causes more over. Every dibur that comes out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the neshamos of Klal Yisrael left them. Shneamer nafshi yatsa bedavro. Well, wait a second. How did we ever get dibur sheni if the first dibur that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our neshamos were gone already? So Haritel shasa dahachias b'mesim ve'achiosam. Hashem brought out the dew that's going to be used to be mechayim mesim, and He gave us life. Shneamer geshem nidvos tanefa. Elokim nachlaska v'nila atakonanta. V'amr Rabbi Shua ben Levi kol dibur v'dibur shiatsim b'kadosh baruch hu. Another final statement about kol dibur v'dibur, that every dibur that came out from Kadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, chazu yisrael achareihen yud beis mil. Klal Yisrael went back 12 mil, vayumalachim, meaning we were like blown back from the force of the dibur. Vayumalachim asharis medadinosan, and the malachim asharis had to bring us back, like a mother walking with a young child, with a toddler who can't really walk on his own. Malachim asharis sort of push us along to bring us back to where we were. Shneamar malachim tzvakos yududin al tikri yududun ela yidadun. Not that we did it on our own, but that they hopped us back. They brought us along back. So that's a discussion that the Rishonim already asked, and the Shuvas Maram Rutenberg says, wait a second, we just said before, we were discussing earlier, that everyone agrees that it was on Shabbos that we were Mekabel the Torah, and we just said that we moved Yud Beis Mil. The only problem is, even if you hold Tchum and Drabanan, so we'd still hold Tchum of Yud, that's Tchum of Alpayim Amas Drabanan, but Tchum of Yud Beis Mil is the Oraisa, so that's beyond the Tchum Shabbos. How were we allowed to go Yud Beis Mil past the Tchum Shabbos? And, well, it wasn't our fault, we were blown back Yud Beis Mil. Okay, how were we allowed to come back? We were blown back Yud Beis Mil, but we kept on coming back. So he's mitaritz that the Anani HaKavod that were makifas was considered like a machitza, and therefore it's considered to be as if we never left that makom because we were surrounded by the Anani HaKavod the entire time. But the Iyun Yaakov says different. He says that the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch that when it's al yedei ones, so then we're allowed to go back. And this was obviously al yedei ones, so that he thought wasn't such a problem. They went beyond these Yud Beis Mil. Okay, we'll stop there, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll get into tomorrow the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim to get humankind the Torah, to get Klal Yisrael the Torah.